fighting for America.
Every child in America has a right to a quality education. Whether it is at public schools or charter schools or private schools or Christian schools or parochial schools or home schools.
Fighting for Idaho.
My proposal for public schools calls for 7.4% more funding. That's almost $60 million more than when the Great Recession began in 2009.
Fighting for you.
You know, you're talking about me multitasking. Talk about you multitasking with all these kids and all the education.
It is a lot of multitasking, but it's a lot of fun, and it's an honor and a privilege.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Welcome to Monday, everybody. Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO, promoting our schools, securing our future. We're Coal Valley Christian right here in Eustis, having a great time. Do want to thank again all of you that listen to this program, that go to our website, that understand the issues of faith, the family, of freedom, and making a difference. And to our friends at CapEd Credit Union that love the teachers. We love our teachers. Thank you. I was so blessed this morning. I was looking at the show preview, and we're doing that now on our social media. And our friends at Tracy Consulting, our friends at We Love Teachers, shared our link. We appreciate that. If you'd like me to like something or share it, just send me an email, or I'm sorry, a message or a friend request on Facebook or at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. Joining us now is Shelley Krager. She's the elementary principal here at Coal Valley. Good to have you with us, ma'am.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us here. When we, you know, one of the reasons why we do this and we go to just about every school that will have us is the issue of just spreading the word about what's going on with education. You know, you as an educator and administrator, sometimes it seems like you're under siege no matter where you are. But a lot of it is due to everybody wants to make sure their kids or their kids' kids are doing well. Tell us about the good that's going on in education today. What inspires you to continue on in this profession?
Well, I think for me, probably what inspires me the most is just helping to build the future generation. I think the hardest thing when you talk about the siege that can come underway is, to some degree, we're helping to equip kids today for something that we don't know that's going to be tomorrow. I mean, their whole generation is changing as far as technology and the way things are being used in the world today. And so we're trying to equip them for a world that we're still kind of trying to figure out, what is that going to look like 15 years from now? Because at the elementary year, I mean, we have kindergartners that are coming in, so we're looking 15 years out for them. I think what's most exciting to me, though, is the one thing that doesn't change is we're really equipping them to be disciples for the Lord. And that's a piece that we can instill, that we know the message we're giving them today is going to be the same message tomorrow and the same message 15 years from now. And that really is the heart of what we're trying to equip kids for, is to build a generation knowing that God's equipped you to be a servant for Him, and He wants to use you. He's It's absolutely a calling for me.
And what led you to it?
Definitely the Lord in that calling part. I will tell you that within this school, I doubt that there's a teacher that you can talk to that would see this as a job. It's not something that we get up and feel like we're going to work every day. We get to go up and we get to invest in lives every day. And every teacher in this school that comes through that door in the morning time, I just spent the last 15 minutes praying with teachers who were specifically praying for students that were coming into their class today. It's not a job for them. It's definitely a calling.
When we take a look at the challenges at the elementary level, you know, this is our first elementary school that we've been to, and we've talked to the high school folks, but usually it's middle school, usually it's high school for us, and sometimes we go to colleges. But what are the challenges of these young, impressionable minds? It always amazes me that they start off, whether it's in pre-K, kindergarten, or first grade, and they learn things that, you know, are basic life skills, so much so that we're shocked when people don't know how to read or don't know how to, you know, do simple math.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, you have that trust of the parents imparting their children on you to, you know, give them the life skills, basic life skills, really.
I think one of our greatest challenges at the elementary level, particularly in the early years in your primary grades, is the fact that you have so many developmental spans that come into play. And so you can be in a kindergarten class and you can have kids that are just naturally figured out reading, and they're already reading at a third and fourth grade level because it was so innate for them. And then you can have other kids that maybe didn't have the background coming into kindergarten, and they're still learning their basic letters and sounds. And so it's a process that you need to take them through on how to go from identifying letters into the reading process. And sometimes I think parents look at that and say, oh, they're not reading by first grade, then we must be failing, or they're not reading at the same level as their peers. But understanding that each one of them develops at a different pace, and we're just looking for that key to unlock their ability to be able to figure the things out that they need to be able to know.
How do we balance that? Because we have this competitive nature.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time when you talk to parents.
Yeah.
No, I want my kid to be, number one and such. In fact, in some places they have waiting lists and waiting lists and waiting lists for kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or for pre-kindergarten, and mm-hmm. we need to get our kid into this, and not only that, but they've got to excel, and you're thinking, wow, you've got 12 years of primary education left. It's quite a perspective to have.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest balancers is being able to try to partner with parents to make sure that we get to know each individual student, because for some kids, their giftings are going to be in different areas. For some, the academic part's going to come natural to them, and there's going to be very little teaching that has to happen because it's natural. You give them something and they can really just take it and be able to learn it. But they may not be as much on the sports side, or they may not be as much on the friendship or the nurturing side. And so for each one, we really have to figure out where their gifts are and where we need to continue to unlock that. But that's working with the parents and really getting to know their kids. We do have a lot of parents that we do have to really talk through. It's okay if they're not reading at a third grade level in first grade. They're right on track with where they need to be, and God's going to continue to grow them in the areas. Here's where their strengths are. Here's where their gifts are. Let's continue to unlock those so that we can make sure that we're not destroying them in that process, because sometimes we can overshadow wanting them to be the best at everything, that we actually squelch their spirit to where they don't want to be used for anything anymore.
What's the best advice that you could give parents listening right now at 580KIDO?
I think the best advice that I could give parents would be to really get to know their kids and really be able to see where the strengths in their
kids are.
Now,
wait a minute. Now, you remember when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were different, but, hey, what'd you learn at school today? Nothing. Now, how do parents overcome that?
Well, never ask a general question like that.
Really? Okay.
First of all, what did you learn at school today? The answer is almost going to always be nothing. For me, I would always encourage parents to say, tell me one great thing that happened today, or what was one thing that challenged you today, or what was one thing that was a hurdle for you today? Because I think part of what you're trying to teach kids is not just what did you learn, it's what did you overcome today? How did you grow from something? Because that's where learning really happens, when you have obstacles that come in your path and it's a hurdle and you get to overcome it. But those aren't questions we always ask our kids. We typically ask them, what was good for you today?
Right.
What happened that was great today? But instead start asking them, what was a hurdle you had to overcome today? What was the challenge that you faced today? That's a lot of times where you might get the depth of getting to know where your kids are too.
A final thought, the challenge of educating today's young people. 5 years ago, we weren't dependent on these things we call phones that we can't live without now. We used to read a thing called newspapers, and I can remember reading a thing from a guy in 2008 when he went to the Jersey Shore, and he couldn't believe everybody had these things called tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the tablet is just like the phone and such, and the laptops are becoming antiquated. So I guess getting ready for the elementary kids or the middle school kids or the high school kids for the next endeavor that we don't know what it'll be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was kind of saying at the beginning, is we're really equipping them for something that we don't know what it will look like 15 years from now. So part of that is not teaching them how to necessarily use a specific program on a PC.
Or a slide rule, for that matter. Yes,
it's teaching them how to think. It's teaching them how to be able to take the knowledge that they have and apply that into multiple settings so that they can be prepared and equipped for the next thing that's going to come.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
It is 8:14, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. As we said, last night Bashar Assad appeared on 60 Minutes to pretty much deny all the human rights allegations that have been leveled against his regime.
To kill the people. What do we get? What the benefit of killing the people?
Now, Bashar said this with a straight...
American wants to sugarcoat the situation as to say that it's getting better.
Right. Now, the only person that I know that has ever defended Bashar Assad has been our friend Ron Paul Jim, and he's sitting there talking about propaganda and everything. But Bashar Assad had huge human rights violations. Bashar Assad did a lot of bad things to his people. I can remember speaking to Courtney Keeley. You remember Courtney? She used to be in the Middle East. And then she came home from Fox News Radio. And then we had Emily Wither. Now we have Jessica Galler. We seem to kind of continue to have that revolving door when it comes to our Middle East correspondents. But she was talking about Assad and the tragedies. There is no justification for what's going on in the Middle East, but there are reasons why people have gone after Assad.
Of course, we always ask a delegation, impartial delegation, to come and investigate. But, I mean, logically and realistically, it cannot be used as a military. This is part of the propaganda.
Right. But again, Assad committed a lot of horrible acts against his own people, against their children, and we're talking to the ISIS level. And instead of minimizing the violence, it escalated into the birth and rise of ISIS. The challenge for anyone, whether it's John Kerry or his predecessor Hillary Clinton or Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell, it seems like that whole area is full of bad actors. Now you've got the Saudis joining with the Egyptians, with the Jordanians attacking in Yemen. Now at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, the Saudis themselves want a nuclear weapon. And we've got the situation going on with the Iranians that apparently were close to a deal. Never mind that Ayatollah, the latest Ayatollah, basically chanted death to America. Do you really want to work with folks that are chanting death to America? And for the young people, like my friend Young Jacob, who resembles Edward Snowden, let me just say this, that most of you read about what happened in 1979. Those of us that lived it will never trust the government of Iran, or should we? And you take a look at our friend Pastor Saeed, held against his will for having a Christian orphanage in Tehran. He worked with the Iranian government. They said, trust us, everything's going to be okay. And we're talking about he's been in prison for 3 years for teaching young orphans about Jesus. Do you really want to deal with the Iranians? 817, we'll take your calls on those issues and much, much more at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But getting back to Assad.
This is not realistic, and this is against our interest as government, is to kill the people. What
right.
do we get? What the benefit of killing the people?
Right. Now, Assad's a great guy, according to him, and it's all propaganda. Number one. Number two, in fairness to Assad, the amount of Christians being killed there has been ratcheted up since the rise of ISIS. He did protect the Christian population in Syria. You wonder, is there an answer to the Middle East situation? You know, since Hosni Mubarak has been run, trouble in Libya since Gaddafi. And really, it comes down to, I guess we would say, the hypocrisy of our own foreign policy. We want to empower people, but when they do, they usually vote the people out that protect our interest, right? 819, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safe.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CAPED and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Cold Valley Christian School on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Here at Coal Valley Christian, coalvalleychristian.org, promoting our schools, securing our future. Our friend Jeff Bacon joining us from the Wyckoff Warrior Project. How you doing, brother?
Well, thank you.
Good to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be here.
You know, usually I'm the one kind of dressed down, and you're the one dressed up. So, you know, for the first time, I think that
I've actually gotten... You're a well-dressed, sharp-dressed man this morning.
Which always translates to the radio here at 580KIDO. So what brings you here today?
My daughter goes to school here at Coal Valley. It's a great school. And I I listen to you every morning, and I knew you're going to be at Coal Valley. I wasn't sure if you're going to be at the elementary or at the high school side, but I thought I'd just look around and see if you're here.
Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, as a parent, why is it important that your child goes here?
The Christian values are important to us, obviously. This reminds me of the grade schools that I used to grow up in.
Sure.
You know, back in the day, which is a few years ago now.
Just a little.
They had Christmas pageants.
Sure.
You know, Christmas shows. We had Easter services. We had the kind of things you normally grow up with, I guess.
Right.
And this school has all of that. And every day my daughter gets talked to about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful environment.
Certainly with Easter just around the corner. This is, you know, the most important week in the Christian calendar, Holy Week, if you will.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I write a blog as a cartoonist, and I often talk about the importance of this holiday. You know, we always think about Christmas being the top holiday for Christians, but really it's Easter, and that's what it's all about.
How are the Warriors doing?
Doing great. We're continuing to grow. We're trying to get 15 new ones in this year, it's, you know, I'm as a volunteer, I'm humbled to see these young men and women overcome these incredible challenges they've had to face and do great things. You know, we're starting to get some graduates now and some alumni, and they're all out contributing and giving back to their communities. Very proud of them.
Wyakin.org, if you want more information. To a broader picture, though. When we had the troops in Iraq, and we still have some there, when we had the troops in Afghanistan, and we still have some there, it was more of a focal point on taking care of the folks that take care of us, men and women who have served. As someone who is actively a part of that, where are we? And, I mean, this is a commitment that's going to be going on for quite some time.
Well, I mean, you always, I've told you this before, you always... You walk the walk. You don't just talk the talk when it comes to supporting the troops. I was out in Afghanistan late last year. It's kind of a scary place for the troops right now. You know, at the time when I was there, the drawdown was going to go down to 9,800 troops in country. A lot of them, and they were closing them down around the country and trying to consolidate their forces in a couple of places in the country. Very dangerous time for them, obviously, because who's going to be that last person out of each one of those bases when the bad guys are right outside the gates? So it's still a very dangerous world. And then we've got, as you know, troops all over the place in different capacities, some in combat, some in a holding pattern, if you will, in some of these countries we've fought in. So the troops are out there serving, and they're continuing to serve. A lot of them are coming home and having to go through some transitions, and that's where we try to step in.
Right. And, Jeff, you and I think, talked about this either on the air or off the air, but you've been to these places several times on USO tours, and the last time you were in Afghanistan, it was a little different for you.
It was the first time, I think we did have this conversation, it was the first time I'd ever felt that I was in danger. You know, I was in Iraq a couple of times and never felt that. In Afghanistan, flying over some of the Badlands, and this is, you know, shortly after what we call green on blue, which is guys are dressed up in Afghani military attire shooting Americans. You don't really know who the good guys were and the bad guys were. And they live in that environment every single day, our troops out there. And we have to keep them in our thoughts and our prayers.
Right, indeed. What's next? Okay, so you've got the graduates. You're going to have some alumni. You're expanding the program. There's been talk that this could be a national example. This could go national, the Wyakin Warriors.
Yeah, we just released a press release a few days ago. The Auto Care Association, which is a $300 billion industry around the country, has embraced us and the Easter Seals Dixon Center, which is their veteran branch, to identify veterans to go into the auto care industry as careers. They're a nationwide organization. They want us to expand other parts of the country. The USO is a big sponsor of ours. They want us to expand other parts of the country. What we're trying to do is to make sure we get it right. Our focus has been Idaho and has been for the last 5 years, but there are veterans all over the country that need our help. And so we're going to very carefully, very deliberately try to make this program available to other people around the country.
What is the biggest thing that people listening at 580KIDO can do to help our veterans here in the Treasure Valley and really those listening at 580KIDO.com? Because we're for the troops. We put the bumper sticker on. We put the flag up. But then you have folks coming back that have been in this ultra alert state where driving down the road could end your life, and coming back to a beautiful place like Idaho. That's quite an adjustment.
It's a huge adjustment. I think that's a tough question to answer. I think what's important is, first of all, you understand that, where they were and where they are now are completely different worlds, and they're trying to put everything together in their heads. But I would contact a veteran service organization. Call, if nothing else, contact the VA and say that you'd like to help. Contact the Wyakin Warriors, wyakin.org. You'd said W-Y-A-K-I-N.org. We'd be happy to enlist you as one of our volunteers to help these young men and women as they do that transition, try to work through that. Because what we've seen is the ones that have graduated and gone on into careers are doing great things. We heard from one of these auto care companies that hired a veteran. They said, we want to, can you bring us more veterans? Because we're going to actually let go some of our current employees because the veterans are so much better. We want to bring in more of them.
Right.
And that's what they have to offer. And so I just say get involved with them. But underneath all of that, try to understand that they've come from a dramatically different world, and now they're in a new one.
Well, thank you for doing this and for having the Wyakin Warrior program.
You bet. I just came by to shake your hand. I wouldn't expect to be on the air. Thank you for...
No, come on. You're an old friend. Come on.
That was good seeing you again.
Good seeing
always.
You, Jeff. All right. You're listening to 580KIDO.
580KIDO is sending Kevin Miller back to school. Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Coal Valley Christian School on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, joined by two young ladies here that want to talk about Coal Valley Christian. Why don't you introduce yourselves to the listening audience?
Okay, my name is Jackie Langley.
My name is Danica Langley.
Well, thank you both for being here, and tell us a little bit about your experience here at Coal Valley Christian.
Well, we are longtime Coal Valley people, as people would call us.
You're Coal Valley people, that's what they call
us. We are Coal Valley people. We actually, our kids went to, we have four children, and our kids all went to public school or like a charter school up until sixth grade. And then at seventh grade, we just wanted to do something different, a smaller school atmosphere, a Christian education. And so we went to just shadow, they call it, where the kids walk around and follow kids around and see what the school's like, and
sure.
The atmosphere was amazing instantly. And I don't know if people have been listening all morning, but just to...
Well, let's hope they are for my sake.
Exactly. But when, you know, just the first name... It's what we wanted. It's exactly what we wanted, and we couldn't be happier with
sure.
Coal Valley.
And by the way, if you've missed any of the segment today of the show today, you can get the podcast at 580KIDO.com to hear the interviews with the staff. What's it like as a student?
As a student, it has been an amazing experience just going from that charter school, which we loved, and we were kind of like what gets better than this, basically? And then we went to Coal Valley, and... It's literally, like, one of the greatest things. I would honestly say it's, like, definitely a huge part of my life. The staff and the administration and all the teachers and just the students, like, we just, like, love each other, like, actually love each other. And it's just amazing to go to school every day, and it's, like, you're going... It's not like you're going to school. Like,
oh, come
yeah, you,
on.
No, it really isn't.
Come
like,
on.
You're learning and you're
nobody
like...
Nobody learns.
No.
Come on.
You're like, you go to school, you go to class, you have all the normal classes, but it's like the hallways are different. Like, you're seeing your friends and you're having a good time, and then, like, even better, you get chapel and you get just to, like, pray in class. You get to talk to your teachers and the staff about, this is what's going on in my life. Pray for me. How can I pray for you? Like, my relationship with the staff and the administration is closer than some of the people in my life that are my age, and these people are much older than me, and
sure.
It's like these are some of my greatest friends are the staff members and teachers at our school.
All right. How has this prepared you for life after high school?
I think it has given me a really good idea of what is it going to be like having this Christian education and then going into the world and wanting to be a light for Jesus. It's taught me, like, even in our school, you know, there's opportunities to share your light for Christ, whether it's just in the hallway or in chapel. Like, I'm one of the worship leaders at our school, and it's been an amazing experience just to have that role of leading our students and our everyone, administration, faculty, into a time of worship. And it's given me leadership in our school. And it just encourages me as I graduate this year, like, I can just do this in my everyday life.
Right.
Like, I can lead worship and I can lead my peers because I've learned how to do that at Coal Valley.
Very well, and it's been neat for all four of our kids. They've all been in leadership positions. They talk up front in front of people. I mean, these are skills that they're going to use forever. And one thing, just as a parent, when you go to, like, the parent-teacher conferences and things like that, I leave, honestly, emotional because these people...
Emotional.
In a good way. Because you get in the car and you drive away and just think about what each teacher has just said about your child and how they pour their lives into them and they truly care about them. You think you're going there just to solely talk about grades or what you're doing. And of course, that's an important part and that's why we're there. But the character building that my kids have gotten from Coal Valley is amazing. I mean, truly, these teachers just pour themselves into, like you've heard before on these interviews, they're there because they want to be there. You know, they're not there because, oh, it's just a job and I have to go. They want to be there. They're excited to pour their knowledge into our kids and their love for Christ. And it's just exciting, and you just walk away truly inspired. You really do.
Yeah, you know, again, listening here at 580K Idea, when you have people that, you know, have chosen a profession that, you know, whether it's private or public, is really under siege in the headlines. It's amazing that we have these good stories, and that's one of the reasons why we do this show and we come to, you know, all the schools and such. Anything else that you ladies would like to share with us today? See, the time goes very quickly.
It really does. Another thing that my husband and I, if anybody's ever, like, interested in to come to a graduation. It truly sums up what Coal Valley is. You come to graduation, and that sounds funny that you would ever want to go to a graduation if you don't have a graduate, but to sit through that ceremony and to see what these kids' lives have gone through, so many of them from kindergarten on.
Right.
And they highlight it. They have amazing speakers, and you walk away just going, oh, my goodness, I am so blessed to be a part of that community. It's been great.
All right. Well, thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is 8:46, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580KIDO. We'd urge you to go to our website, 580KIDO.com. Some great stories there. We've got a profile of a young man playing for the Broncos titled Bronco Has Heart, Will Get a Kidney. And if you need some inspiration, and who doesn't need inspiration on this Monday morning, here you have the Boise State player who we've been talking about for quite some time, needs a new kidney. It looks like his sister will be able to donate one of her kidneys to him. And if you'd like to help, there's a Kickstarter program there to help them pay for the medical bills. Why don't we go to the phones, and we'll go to Linda from Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you? I'm calling.
And we'll go to Linda one more time with Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. Exactly what is Common Core? I've heard about it. I have not read any information on it because our newspaper doesn't cover a lot of territory, but I don't understand what this Common Core business is.
It depends on who you talk to, but the Common Core are national standards, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that'll correct me on this, but national standards designed to, I guess, uniform test scores to have the folks in Idaho have the same proficiency as those in Massachusetts. Kind of like, well, it's not like No Child Left Behind. It's another program by the federal government. And depending on who you talk to, people say it's funded by the Gates Foundation and others. You have people that we've spoken to at schools that think it's a good thing. On the other hand, you have people that think it's a bad thing based on the data collection that allows the federal government to learn about your kid.
Ooh, that last statement would turn me off.
We never want to turn you off.
No.
And
no.
We don't want you to turn us off either. Anybody
no, believe me, I wake up with you every morning.
Well, don't tell Mrs. Miller that.
No,
that's
I
our
won't.
Little secret.
I won't.
Okay.
But it sounds like we're getting ready for, like everything else in this country, a political takeover of the school systems. If this is set up by the government to supposedly help students and, you know, I'd be interested. In 10 years, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be Common Core still, or will it be something else? Kids are kids, and they learn at their own level. They learn what they can learn when they can learn it. And to be forced into having parents pound this stuff into their heads, I don't see why we can't go back to what used to work. I realize the used to is antiquated, but I went to school in New York State. We had regent programs, and if you didn't pass your regency program, you didn't graduate. And again, that was based on, you know, test scores and student, you know, participation. But it sounds like this Common Core thing is going to be another part of our lives that the government's going to get into whether anybody wants it or not.
Linda, thank you for the call.
You're welcome, Kevin. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you for listening. It is 8:50, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Joining us now, the superintendent of Coal Valley Christian, Brad Carr. Mr. Carr, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for coming out today, Kevin.
Good to have you with us. Anything that you'd like to share with us here?
I just appreciate you guys coming out and taking a look at Coal Valley. You know, Christian education is just one choice for parents in education. In Idaho, you know, we promote choice for parents, and we'd like parents to have the ability to send their kids to a Christian school if they desire. So we're constantly looking for ways to make it more accessible and, you know, looking to our legislators to look for ways to help support that.
And again, for more information, coalvalleychristian.org. What would, you know, sometimes most of us don't want to get into the political realm. What would help out?
Well, other states have passed either vouchers or tax credit bills. Tax credits are a better avenue in Idaho because the money doesn't go directly to the school. It's more of money following the student. And so we've put several bills in front of the legislature to try to look for ways that people could donate to private schools, and the parents could take advantage of that and take advantage of tax credits to fund that.
Well, good luck with the legislature.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with us today, sir?
No, you know, just that, you know, just we're thankful to be in a place where we can share the Lord with our kids, and, you know, that's something that's been taken out of our schools, but you know, we just want to encourage all teachers and all educators out there that their profession is valuable, and what they're doing is important. And you know, I think that our teachers in the state of Idaho do a great job.
They do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Quickly to Walt in Nampa at 580 KIDO. Good morning. Okay. Thank you for that. Walt hung up. All right. Let's get to traffic at 580. And thank you very much, Larry. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. I do want to remind you we've got some, well, some provocative pieces. Okay, I attempt at making some pieces provocative at 580KIDO.com. There's a controversy going on in the state of Indiana. You probably heard over the weekend over their religious freedom bill. The big issue here in Idaho is when Representative Luker tried to do that, he was met with a lot of resistance. So why is the Hoosier state more socially conservative than the Gem state? That's at 580KIDO.com. And what will the governor do? Will it be jobs? Will it be gaming? If you are Governor Otter, do you urge him or would you save LeBlanc by vetoing SB 1011, or do you let it come, sign it into law? We'll talk about that and much, much more tomorrow. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.